Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 90. In verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The word teach is the word yada in the Hebrew, and it means make known or declare. So make me aware is really the idea of the number of my days. That's not talking about the literal exact number. That's really let me be aware that my days are limited. That we may apply our hearts, our frame of reference. Apply is the word bo in the original language, means lead in. Wisdom. Wisdom is the skillful application of doctrine. So, teach us to be aware that our days are limited, that we may bring into our frame of reference that which is needed for the skillful application of God's Word in our lives. That is incredibly important, incredibly valuable. The lack of wisdom in the world is why the world has so many problems. If there was wisdom, there wouldn't be corruption. There wouldn't be a need for wars. There wouldn't be economic upheaval. There wouldn't be social problems if there was wisdom. The trouble is that in the world, there's an extreme lack of wisdom. So it's all the more important that Christians know how to properly apply their hearts unto wisdom. Young people, if you learn how to apply your heart unto wisdom early, you will have an enormous advantage in life. You can get much farther in life. You can save yourself all kinds of trouble in life. Things that'll hinder you, that'll hurt you absolutely unnecessarily, that never had to happen, which is very common nowadays, and they're so harmful to the person, they cause so much pain, so much trouble, they make things so much harder, because there's no wisdom. There's no real application of the Word of God in people's personal details. So they lack wisdom. God is the source of all wisdom. Of course He is. He knows all things in 1 John 3:20. He designed everything. It took Him nothing but speaking the Word, and the entire universe was created. This is the ability of God. We can tap into that ability through wisdom, through proper, skillful application of what the Word of God says in my own life. There's wisdom. Now, you can't apply the Word of God if you don't possess the Word of God. In Job 33:12, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. I value more highly the Word of God then I value the things in my life that I think are necessary. The word food isn't really there in the original. It's actually saying all that is necessary. Somebody added the word food later. So he's saying there, I value your word more than anything that I think is necessary for my life. Well, what's necessary for my life? Yeah, food is necessary. I guess that's why they added it. No, the word of God is more necessary. Breathing is necessary. No, the Word of God is more necessary. Clothes are necessary. The Word of God is more necessary. A job, money, all that, it's all necessary. The Word of God is more necessary. It's more important. It's more effective. We need that mentality in order to have wisdom, because if we're not receiving the Word of God, then we have nothing from God to apply. There cannot be wisdom without application of the Word of God. By definition, a lack of applying the Word of God is foolishness. Well, foolishness leads to all kinds of problems. Look around. Turn on the news. I don't really recommend it. It's not going to be very pleasant. But if you turn on the news, all you're going to hear about is foolishness. And all the things that are happening today that are ungodly, it's just foolishness. That's the first step in applying your heart unto wisdom. The next step in applying your heart unto wisdom is in Jude 20, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Well, getting the Word of God daily, that's how my most holy faith is built up in Romans 10:17. So through the Word of God, build yourself up in your most holy faith. As I apply the Word of God in my thinking, let's say I encounter a situation and I don't know what to do, or maybe it scares me. So I take the promises of God that pertain to that circumstance, and I start to meditate and think with those promises toward that circumstance. That's wisdom. All of a sudden, the circumstance is not a drain, but it's an opportunity for me to get to know God's faithfulness in a way that I couldn't know it before. And then it continues, keep yourself in the love of God. Absolutely got to keep yourself in the love of God, because faith is energized by love in Galatians 5:6. So keep yourself in the love of God. And the way that you do that is by looking for the mercy of God in everything. Whether you're doing well, whether you're doing badly, look for the mercy of God in both. Because if you're doing well, the mercy of God will keep you there. And if you stop doing well, the mercy of God will preserve you. If you're doing poorly, the mercy of God will take care of you and will get you to the point where you're doing well. And so in all situations, you look for the mercy of God for yourself, for other people, for circumstances, whatever it is that the need is. You look for the mercy of God. The mercy of God, really that idea encompasses God's patience and His kindness towards you. Because mercy never exists just by itself. Wherever God is patient, He'll immediately follow it up with kindness. God is patient and He'll follow it up with gentleness. God is patient, and He'll follow it up by being very good to you, by being generous if you need it, by being comforting if you need it, by being soothing, whatever it is that you need. He'll follow it up with whatever it is you need. So mercy is never in a vacuum. Mercy is always accompanied by something. That's why God said looking for mercy, not, let's say, looking for God's taking care of you, or looking for God's kindness toward you, or whatever it is that you need, because all of it is attached to mercy. And so you look for the mercy of God in everything. That's applying your heart unto wisdom. In 1 Peter 5:6, you apply your heart unto wisdom by humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humility is a huge issue, because if I'm not humble before God, in James 4:6, God will take a stand of opposition against me. And so a person has to humble themselves before God. A lot of people don't want to humble themselves before God. A lot of people, to them, the idea of humbling themselves before God is kind of like, ooh, why would I do that? I'm something. What do you mean, I'm nothing? I'm something. No, really, Christ is something. Without Him, you're definitely nothing. And in truth, without Him, in Psalm 103:12 and Revelation 1:5, you don't even exist in the end. So, yeah, humility for God is hugely important. Because if you are humble, God will come through for you. If you are proud, God will allow your circumstance to get the best of you to humble you. So humility before God is a must. Never elevate your opinions, your moods, your thoughts, whatever it is. Never elevate anything of yourself above God's word, above God's heart, above God's love, above God's kindness, above His mercy, above all the things that He is and says and has done. Never elevate anything above that. That's humility. If you do elevate something above that, that's pride. In Matthew 6:33, the next step in applying your heart unto wisdom is to seek first the kingdom of God. Sometimes young people will be raised in a good church and they'll have wonderful Christian families, parents who love them, who do the best they can. They're in a church where there's good preaching and a good Sunday school program that's giving them the Word of God, not just keeping them busy, but giving them, teaching them in the Word of God. And then they'll do things like go to college and they'll allow what the professors say, in some cases, to get them to question and then doubt and then no longer believe God. That's not applying your heart unto wisdom. In all things, seek first the kingdom of God. If you are studying biology, then biology is not the issue. Biology is secondary. Seeking first the kingdom of God as you study what you study, biology or anything else, that's the issue. If you do that, then you're actually going to have biology or whatever you're studying to reveal things to you and to edify you in a way that you didn't think was possible, because God is going to be able to show you things about things that don't obviously on the surface have anything to do with Him, but He cares about them and He wants you to be edified in them and He wants you to do well with them and He wants to bless you and promote you in them. But you've got to seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God is you have the right priorities, you have the right thoughts. When I was studying science, I was already a Christian, I had already gone through Bible college, I already learned what I needed. I had already been a missionary. And I knew that as the professors were talking, if I thought with the Word of God about what I was being taught, I would receive much more than the simple information about whatever science area I was learning about. And indeed, I did receive tremendously much more. I received understanding both about science and about the Word of God that I would have never had if I had simply thought with what the professor said about science. These are the facts. Okay, those are the facts. So what? Who cares if they're the facts? If it's not going to have eternal value, it's not of any value. So those are the facts. But if you think, okay, these facts fit into the Word of God in this way, and man, it makes everything so much richer. That's true like that with anything. You always seek first the kingdom of God. You're looking for a relationship. You're in your 20s or 30s or whatever. You're considering a relationship as a young adult. But you seek first the kingdom of God. You don't seek first the relationship. If you seek first the relationship, 100% guaranteed you will have a much harder time in that relationship. Why? No provisions, nothing. God's not in it. But he is a Christian, she's a Christian, doesn't matter. The priorities, the focus, the center of that relationship is all wrong. But you seek first the kingdom of God, and then he can bring you everything. He can bring you education, he can bring you a job, he can bring you relationships, he can bring you husbands and wives, he can bring you children if you're called to have children with your husband or wife. He can bring you everything. There's nothing that God cannot bring you when you seek first the kingdom of God. It says, and all these things, all in the original language means each and every. Each and every one of those things will be added unto you if you seek first the kingdom of God. Sometimes people are afraid that God won't come through for them, that he won't give it to them. God says he will give it to you. And God cannot lie. Don't worry about what God comes through with. God will come through. That's the way he is. Seek first the kingdom of God is applying your heart unto wisdom. Now, in seeking first the kingdom of God, you won't succeed in it unless, in Matthew 16:23, you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Now, deny yourself is not some, well, I can't have that chocolate bar. Although, if you want to lose weight, that's not a bad idea. But denying yourself simply means you're not self-centered. You're not self-oriented. Taking up a cross is simply you enter into the life of God through the Word of God. Following Him is really kind of the natural result of not being self-oriented and getting the Word of God in your heart. Then you have the ability to seek first the kingdom of God. If we apply our heart unto wisdom, in other words, we apply our heart unto properly applying the Word of God in our lives, in John 13:34, you love one another. You cannot overemphasize the importance of that. Joy comes through patience and kindness. That's what love one another really means. Those first two things in 1 Corinthians 13:4 that love is, everything stemming out of them, those are really what we're looking for. Patience and kindness. You don't have to like someone to love them. But you can be patient and kind with them even if you don't like them. Be patient and kind. You see, patience and kindness does something for you. It takes your eyes off yourself. And by taking your eyes off yourself, it also takes your eyes off of all the negativity that can come. When a person looks at themselves when they are self-oriented, they will frequently fall into self-pity. It didn't go your way, you start feeling sorry for yourself. Things are getting difficult, you start feeling sorry for yourself. You're getting a challenge, you start feeling sorry for yourself. Feeling sorry for yourself will then bring you to negativity. Negativity is like spiritual cancer. Once it's there, it'll take over everything and ultimately destroy it. But it all starts with self-orientation starting to feel sorry for itself. Love protects you in that. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's the result of love one another. And if I'm giving thanks, then negativity has no place. Self-pity has no place in giving thanks. And it results from love one another. Because when you love, that patience and that kindness together will steer your focus in a proper way. That's applying your heart to wisdom. In Micah 6:8, God defines some things. What is required of you, God says, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Not by yourself. With God, He gives you the ability. Do justly. Do right by people, but not just do right by people. It's really talking about living in the finished work of Christ and applying what Christ has done. But when you do that, you will do right by people and you will do right by yourself also. Love mercy. Love mercy. Because if you love mercy, then your focus will remain correct. And then walk humbly. If you walk humbly, you'll never replace your thoughts, yourself, your circumstances, anything else that's you. You'll never replace the Word of God with the things of you. The things of me don't lead unto life. The things of God do. And so, when I realize that I have just a limited time on earth, and some people have more of the time and others have less, but no matter how much of it you have, it's limited. It will ultimately pass. Then you realize you want to really apply your heart unto wisdom, because that time that you have on earth is an opportunity that God has given you. And those opportunities are where you get your benefit in heaven. On earth, most definitely you'll benefit from it. But in heaven, those benefits continue. Foolishness is a waste of time. Foolishness just eats your time and throws it away. Like people who get negative, people who get hostile, people who get angry, people who get self-centered, people who get insecure. Sometimes you just want to ask them, why are you wasting your life on this stupid nothing? Vapors and air and dust and nothing. When you can apply your heart unto wisdom and you get everything. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.